Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I want to thank you for joining me on another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. We really enjoy bringing you these 5 days a week, 5 minute a day times of daily encouragement from the scriptures. I want to go back today into the title of a sermon that I taught a few weeks ago entitled Good Enough. I think all of us really want to know what's good enough. One of the favorite things I hear people say when I'm attempting to onboard them onto a new team is I like the question to be asked, how am I going to know if I'm winning? I'm a bit competitive about most everything, and so I love to know if I'm winning. And I think a lot of people do. And I think at times we look at our life and walk with Christ and we forget that how am I going to know if I'm winning? You know, when I think about this, I am reminded that I have a lot of people ask weird questions that seem very simple about heaven, about God's standard. I've heard people say, you know, if I try my best, won't God let me into heaven? Or doesn't God just require me to be better than the average dude out there? Or don't I have to just live a good life to be a Christian? Or how could a loving God send good people to hell? I mean, it would seem that we humans are incurably addicted to doing something for our own salvation. But when we look at the scripture and what it says, we recognize that God's standard for us is perfection. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 48, it says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Anything less than perfect, folks, is sin. And now, think about heaven for a minute. Heaven is a place of the no mores. There's no more tears, no more sadness, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. And all those things are caused by sin. The no mores didn't exist in heaven because sin does not exist in heaven. Let me say it again. The no mores don't exist in heaven because sin doesn't exist in heaven. Heaven will be wonderful, not only because of what is present, God, but also because of what is absent, sin. You see, God doesn't grade on the curve. He doesn't say, oh, you're pretty close. Just it's close enough for government work. Come on in. Or you've tried really hard. Just come on in. I use this example. I thought it was great. I read it in where I'd filed it back several years ago in my Evernote. But it's kind of like this. God doesn't compare. Well, Bob, you're better than Tim. So you are in, and Bob, you're out. Or the other way around. Listen, Mary, you're better than Susan, so you come on in. Trying to compare like that is like trying to jump the Grand Canyon. So what if you can jump 35 feet and set an Olympic record? You still are going to splat when you hit the rock because just because you can jump far doesn't mean you can jump over it all. If we're grading ourselves on goodness, we would rank right up there. I mean, pretty high on the scale if we were grading ourselves. But let's call ourselves, say, Dirk and Denise Decent. From our perspective in our life, we do stuff that's right. We pay our taxes, pay our bills, pay attention to our family, pay respect to our elders. I mean, we're good people, right? But God sees us differently. God sees what we choose to overlook. As decent as we are walking through life, we still are sinful people making mistakes of the head, the heart, and the hands. For example, we stretch the truth. We might fudge ever so slightly on our expense report. We gossip about a new employee. From our perspective, these aren't big deals, but our perspective isn't what matters. God does. And what God sees is a person wrapped in mistakes. So let me ask you a question. Is there any sin in your life right now? And you know what? If you're like every human the Bible talks about, then yes, that you are not perfect and you've not met God's standard of perfection and there is sin in your life. Here's the great news. God's solution is a pardon. We all know we're guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We've already been judged guilty. We're all guilty. But God's solution is I want to bring you a pardon. Listen to what the book of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verses 12 and 18 scattered through there. It says, Christ made a single sacrifice for sins, and that was it. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some imperfect people. Golly, I can't get that out. Let's say it again. Christ made a single sacrifice for sins, and that was it. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some imperfect people. Our sins are taken care of for good. Paul jumps into this in the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5 when he says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Friend, listen, this is one of those things that you have to claim personally. You have to make that choice to receive the pardon. I told the story at Sugar Hill Church of a young man who had been kind of a model citizen from a model family, and he was playing in a friendly game of cards, and then fight broke out, and he murdered someone, never intended to, but did. And so everyone knew he was guilty. He was found guilty. And this is back in the day when you were hung as a capital punishment. And so the people all over the town signed petitions and letters and sent them in bulk over to the judge, where the judge considered it all, wrote out a pardon, and then he did something so unlikely. This young man was in a jail cell. You can imagine what it was like in that time, years and years ago. It was cold and damp and dark. And so the judge took off his robe, and he put on him a clerical robe and a clerical collar, and he grabbed his Bible, and he stuck inside the Bible that pardon. And as he walked down the hallway to get to where that young man was in prison, the guard said, "You better shape up, kid. The preacher's coming to see you." And he began cussing that preacher and dog cussing that preacher. "You don't have anything that's for me. You can't help me in any way. Don't be bringing me all that Bible stuff." And about the time that this judge dressed as a preacher got to that, he held the Bible out and he held the scripture for this young man to grab, and the young man literally spat upon it and pushed him out of the jail and said, "You don't offer anything for me." Well, the time came at high noon the next day to hang this young man. And there he was on the gallows, and he had the rope around his neck, and the executioner held the handle to that trap door. And the young man, who had been told what he had said no to, they asked him, what are your final words? And he said, just before they put that drape over his head, he said, "I'm not dying today because I'm a murderer. I'm dying today because I didn't receive my pardon." Friend, regardless of what you've done, who you are, where you've been, or who you are today, God offers you a pardon found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Don't find yourself hanging and not receiving, because he did it all for you. God bless you, friend. I hope to see you this Sunday at Sugar Hill Church. We have worship gatherings at 9:30 and 11 a.m., and we have a Spanish-speaking service at 11 a.m. in our chapel. We're always broadcasting live on Facebook and streaming live at live.sugarhill.church. God bless you. Bye now.